السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آج بھی میں حضرت مسلم معود رضی اللہ عنہ کے حوالے سے
Today, also with the reference to Hazrat Muslim Maud رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ, I will present some incidents from the life of the promised Messiah علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام. Even if some may be familiar with these accounts, but the manner in which Hazrat Muslim Maud narrates them brings to light various perspectives and gives us a new dimension of understanding into the rank and the status of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam and the divine support in his favor. In verse 17 of Surah Al-Yunus, God Almighty has outlined the principle of the truthfulness of a prophet. Which is, لَبِسْتُ فِيكُمْ أُمَرًا مِّن قَبْلِهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. That I have indeed lived among you a whole lifetime before this. Will you not then understand? Allah the Almighty ordained the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to announce this to the kuffar, i.e. the disbelievers, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this to them. Certainly, herein lays the standard of truthfulness of a prophet, in that his past reveals and manifests his life as a whole. During a speech, Hazrat Muslim Maud said, and the occasion for this speech arose in the following manner, that some very senior opposition clerics had gathered in Qadian, who held conferences and gatherings that underwent careful planning. Delivering speeches and hurling vehement abuse against the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. All of which was done with the purpose of creating disorder. However, with the grace of God, they failed in creating any disorder, but still spewed as much venom, nastiness and slander as they possibly could. Thereafter, Hazrat Muslim Maud also organized a conference,
or
or rather a gathering in which he rebutted the allegations made by these critics, and he proved the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Nonetheless, I will not relate everything that went on, but I present a part of an extract here, where Hazrat Muslim Maud said, in observing the life of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, before his claim, we see that he has repeatedly announced to the Hindus, Sikhs, and Muslims who lived here to disclose whether they can raise any criticism or blame on his early life. No one dared to refute this, and in fact, they admitted that he had led a pure life, according to the principle mentioned in the Holy Quran, which has been recited in verse 17 of Surah Al-Yunus. And everyone testified that the promised Messiah's alayhi salatu wasalam's past life was completely pure, or at least they were unable to level any criticism of it. Hazrat Muslim Maud says that then Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Batalvi, who later became a fierce opponent, testified in his magazine that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam had led an unblemished and blameless early life. And the father of Mr. Zafar Ali Khan also testified in his newspaper that the promised Messiah's early life was entirely upright. In short, how could it be that a person who remained pure and spotless for 40 years of his life suddenly overnight became misguided? Psychologists accept that moral flaws and shortcomings develop gradually. Psychologists also assert exactly this, that immoralities take root slowly over time and do not suddenly transform. Thus, see how faultless, flawless, and blameless the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam's past illuminated life was, as no one had the courage to say otherwise. Then in Surah Mumin, Allah the Almighty says, "Inna lanansuru rusulana," that most surely we help our messengers. So how do we see this help manifest for the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam? Hazrat Muslim Maud states that all kinds of attempts were made to kill the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and people were appointed for this, which became evidently clear, yet they failed in their efforts. And many false cases of murder were filed against the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. One such case was filed by Dr. Henry Martin Clark, and a person even declared that he had been appointed by Mirza Sahib to carry it out. And the magistrate of the case was a person who had previously claimed that why no one had apprehended this person who had claimed to be the Messiah and Mahdi, and that he will now apprehend him. However, when the trial started, the very same magistrate states that according to him, the case was completely false, and repeated this many times, that eventually, when the person who claimed to have been appointed by the promised Messiah for the murder was taken away from the Christians and handed over to the police, he started to cry and confess that it was the Christians who told him to make such a claim. And God Almighty completely eradicated the false accusation. However, I will explain the details of this incident further on. Hazrat Muslim Maud further states that a very passionate missionary of the community, Maulvi Umruddin Sahib Shimlavi, narrated his own incident of joining Ahmadiyyat by studying the character of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. He narrates that once in Shimla, Maulvi Muhammad Hussain and Maulvi Abdul Rahman Siyah and a few others were deliberating over a method to oppose the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Maulvi Abdul Rahman Sahib said that since the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has announced he will no longer take part in debates, we could make an announcement inviting him to a debate. And if he accepts the invitation and agrees for the debate, then we will say that the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has lied, because he had previously announced that he would no longer take part in debates. And if he doesn't agree for a debate, then we shall claim that Mirza Sahib has been defeated. Upon hearing this, Maulvi Umardeen said that what is the need of all this, and said he would simply just go and kill the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Maulvi Muhammad Hassan replied, "Young boy, what would you know? We have tried all of this before." And so, Maulvi Umardeen Sahib became convinced that a person whom God is protecting so much, most certainly has been sent from God. And when Maulvi Umardeen had done the bath and was returning back from Qadian, he saw Maulvi Muhammad Hussain at the Batala station. Maulvi Muhammad Hussain inquired where he was coming from, and he replied he had just done the bath in Qadian. Maulvi Muhammad Hussain then said to Maulvi Umardeen that he was very mischievous and that he would now write to his father. Maulvi Umardeen replied, "Maulvi Sahib, in fact all of this has happened because of you. Therefore, though the enemy wanted to kill him, but God Almighty saved him. In fact, if the opponent was good-natured, he returned back convinced and his heart had been transformed." As I mentioned earlier about the murder case that was filed by the Christians against the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Muslim Maud has described the event in detail. This case was filed by Martin Clark, and Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Batalvi also appeared as a witness in this case. Hazrat Muslim Maud writes, in fact, he mentioned this in his sermon, that how God Almighty disgraced them. He states that Martin Clark claimed that Mirza Sahib had sent someone to murder him, and those deemed as scholars from among the Muslims also joined in that claim. Therefore, Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib Batalvi also appeared as a witness in this case. It had already been revealed to the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, that a Maulvi would stand up against him, but God Almighty will disgrace him. And despite the fact that a revelation had already been revealed that he would be disgraced, and it is necessary to take certain appropriate measures for the fulfillment of a revelation. However, Hazrat Muslim Maud states that a lawyer from Lahore, Maulvi Fazaldeen Sahib, who was also with the promised Messiah alayhi salam during the case, told him that when he wanted to ask Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib a question, as a result of which he would face humiliation, but the promised Messiah alayhi salam stopped him from doing so. Often during a trial, certain questions are posed to the witness to determine their reliability. So when Maulvi Fazaldeen Sahib showed the questions to the promised Messiah alayhi salam that he wanted to ask Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib, on one of the questions, the promised Messiah alayhi salam stated that he shall not tolerate such a question. Maulvi Fazaldeen Sahib replied that by asking such a question, the case against the promised Messiah alayhi salam will weaken, and by not asking it, the promised Messiah will be in a difficult situation, because the witness has claimed to be a leader of the Muslims, and therefore it is necessary that we prove that this is not the case. However, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam stated that he will not allow for such a question to be asked. Maulvi Fazaldeen Sahib was not an Ahmadi, but in fact was a Hanafi and a leader of the Hanafis, and was a prominent member of the Anjuman Luqmaniyah. And so although he had some religious differences, yet whenever someone would speak against the character of the promised Messiah alayhi salam in a non-Ahmadi gathering, he would forcefully rebut them. He would say that keeping their religious differences aside, he had witnessed that the morals of the promised Messiah alayhi salam was such that no scholar from among them could match them. He said that he had assessed the character of the promised Messiah alayhi salam on several occasions, and no one could stand equal to him in that regard. Now we can see that on one hand, there is a revelation about the witness being disgraced, and on the other, his testimony suggests that the promised Messiah alayhi salam was guilty. However, the promised Messiah did not allow such a question to be asked that would diminish his position. But God Almighty, who had already given the news of Maulvi Muhammad Hussain being disgraced, he not only did he show the promised Messiah's high morals and elevate his status, but also in the eyes of the non-Ahmadi lawyer who was present, and also through extraordinary means, he disgraced Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib. Talking of his humiliation, the deputy commissioner, who was very strict and had previously said that he would apprehend the promised Messiah alayhi salam, the same deputy commissioner, when he saw the promised Messiah alayhi salam's face, he had a sudden change of heart, and despite the fact that the promised Messiah alayhi salam was appearing in the court as a suspect, he presented him with a chair and seated the promised Messiah alayhi salam alongside him. When Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib appeared to give his testimony, he came with the impression that the promised Messiah alayhi salam would be in handcuffs, or at least he would be standing in a state of humiliation. However, when he saw that the magistrate had seated the promised Messiah alayhi salam alongside him, he became infuriated and immediately asked for him to also be given a chair. Maulvi Sahib stated that he belonged to an honorable family and he is also given a chair during his meeting with the governor. The deputy commissioner replied that even a cleaner is granted a chair when he visits the governor, but this is a courtroom. He also said that Mirza Sahib belonged to a noble family, and so his case was different. This sudden transformation of the deputy commissioner was certainly no ordinary thing, given the fact that he was an Englishman who had previously claimed that he would now apprehend the promised Messiah alayhi salam. The opposition from Captain Douglas was certainly no ordinary one. In fact, it was one that was on the account of their religious difference now. Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whilst describing the details of the incident, states that a few days before, Captain Douglas had mentioned that someone in Qadian had claimed to be the Messiah, and therefore he had dishonored their God and wondered why no one had apprehended him yet. When the letter from the court was read out, it stated that because the deputy commissioner wanted to issue a warrant, however, a warrant could not be issued for such a court case. Rather, a court summon could be issued instead. In those days, Jalaluddin was a police inspector, and although he was not an Ahmadi, but was a very caring person, he also drew the attention of the deputy commissioner towards the fact that issuing a warrant was highly unfair, and instead of a warrant, a court summon should be sent. Therefore, a court summon was issued and sent to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and Jalaluddin Sahib was sent to administer it. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam arrived in Batala on the appointed day, and the deputy commissioner was also in Batala. When the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam appeared in the court, the very same deputy commissioner who had stated that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam had insulted Jesus Christ and why no one had apprehended him yet, honored the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. As mentioned earlier, he offered the promised Messiah a chair and told him that he may remain seated whilst answering his questions. As mentioned before, Muhammad Hussain Batalwi also appeared as a witness in the case, and outside the courtroom, a large crowd had assembled, anxiously waiting for the verdict of the trial. And when Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib arrived and saw the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam seated on a chair, he became infuriated. for he assumed that he would see the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam in handcuffs and thus humiliated. However, it was the complete opposite. The case was being presented in a court which was presided by an English deputy commissioner, in which the plaintiff was also an English priest, Dr. Henry Martin Clark. Regarding Dr. Martin Clark, it was widely known that although he was an Englishman, but he belonged to the progeny of a Pathan who had married an Englishwoman, and he himself was adopted by an Englishman. A famous scholar like Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib appeared as a witness at such a case, yet the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was honored, whilst his enemies failed and were disgraced. As mentioned earlier, that when Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Batalvi saw the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam had been offered a seat as opposed to standing in the witness box, he was livid. And so he too requested the deputy commissioner for a chair. In those days, the Maulvis were perceived very trivial and low class by the English. And so the commissioner responded that it was his choice to whom he offered a seat and to whom he doesn't, and said that he noticed that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam's family was an honorable one and so had given him a chair. But what was his, i.e. Maulvi Muhammad Hussain's status? Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib replied that he was an advocate for the Ahl Hadith, and he also visited the governor and made many other boastful claims. The deputy commissioner replied that he considered Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib to be an ignorant and illiterate person, because anyone who visited the governor would be given a seat. However, this was not the governor's palace, but a courtroom. However, he was still not content and started arguing, which angered the commissioner, and told Maulvi Sahib to stop talking nonsense and stand at the back of the room where all the shoes were. When the peon heard what the deputy commissioner had instructed, he took Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib from the arm and led him to where the shoes were. Maulvi Sahib, realizing that he had been disgraced, and that if the thousands of people who had gathered outside would come to know of it, then what would they say? He left the courtroom and saw a chair in the veranda and immediately seized the opportunity as a perfect way to cover up his humiliation, and quickly drew the chair and sat on it, thinking that when people would see him on a chair, they would assume that he would also be given a seat in the courtroom. The peon had previously seen the commissioner's mood, and so when he saw Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib seated, he thought the deputy commissioner may get angry with him. So he asked him to leave the chair. And therefore he had to vacate the chair in the veranda also. Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib came outside where people were sat waiting for the outcome of the case of sheets of cloth they had brought with them. He noticed some empty space on a sheet and sat down on it. Hazrat Muslim states that the particular sheet of cloth belonged to the late Mia Muhammad Bakhsh Sahib of Batala, who was the father of Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib, a missionary of the Ahmadiyya community. However, at the time Muhammad Bakhsh Sahib was a non-Ahmadi, he eventually did bath, and his son became a missionary later on. The sheet of cloth, however, belonged to him, and when he saw Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Batalvi sat on his sheet, he became very angry and told him to get off, and that he had dirtied his sheet. He said that he was a Maulvi, yet he had come to give a testimony in favor of the Christians. Therefore, he had to get off the sheet also. Thus, he was disgraced by God Almighty everywhere. These are manifest signs of God, and how God Almighty acquitted the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam from his enemy. And not just this, but then showed many more signs to Sir Douglas, which he remembered for the rest of his life. Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu states that Sir Douglas himself related these to Hazur when he travelled to England in 1924. Hazrat Muslim Aud states that Sir Douglas's head clerk, whose name was Ghulam Haider from Rawalpindi, and later became a revenue collector for the county equivalent of the subcontinent, and perhaps lived in Sargodha, narrated the incident to him and said that at the time of the court case involving Dr. Henry Martin Clark, he was the deputy commissioner's head clerk in Gurdaspur. He related that after attending the court that day, the deputy commissioner told him that he immediately wanted to go back to Gurdaspur and told him to promptly arrange for his train travel. And so he went to the station to make the necessary arrangements. And while standing in the veranda outside the station, he saw Sir Douglas walking. He noticed he was pacing the street from one end to the other and seemed rather worried. He approached him and told him that he had laid out the chairs for him and he should take a seat in the waiting room. Upon which the deputy commissioner responded that if he could be left alone and not to say anything to him as he was not feeling too well. The head clerk said he insisted that he should tell him what exactly had happened so that the appropriate care could be taken. He replied that ever since he had seen Mirza Sahib's face, he felt as if an angel has been gesturing to him and saying that Mirza Sahib is innocent and not to be blamed. And so he adjourned the court and came there. And now as he walked from one side to the other, there too, as he walked and reached one end, he kept seeing Mirza Sahib's face saying that he did not commit this act and it was all a lie. When he walked in the other direction and reached the other end, again he saw Mirza Sahib's face saying that he had not done anything and it was all a lie. He said that he felt that if his condition remained the same, he would go insane. The head clerk said that he advised him to go to the waiting room and suggested that the superintendent police was also around and he too was an Englishman and perhaps he will become more comfortable after talking to him. Captain Douglas agreed and called for the superintendent police, whose name was Limarchand. So he was called, and when he came, Captain Douglas told him about his situation and that he now felt as if he was losing his senses. He told him that as he walked to one end of the station, he could see Mirza Sahib's face saying that he is innocent and that he has been falsely accused. Then as he walked and reached the other end, there again he saw Mirza Sahib's face saying he is innocent and they are all lies. And so he felt as if he was going mad and asked for the superintendent to help him. The superintendent replied that he had no one to blame but Captain Douglas himself, as he had entrusted the witness over to the Christian priests. He said that the witness who had alleged that he had been told to commit a murder was in the custody of the priests, who have indoctrinated him, and so all his statements in court were based on whatever they taught him. He should have handed him over to the police and then see what statement he would have given. Therefore, Captain Douglas immediately called for a pen and paper and ordered for Abdul Hamid to be handed over to the police. And so, according to the order, Abdul Hamid was handed over to the police. And the very same day, or the next day, he confessed that he had been lying. According to the superintendent, when he asked him to tell the complete truth, he initially insisted upon his original claim that Mirza Sahib had sent him to murder Dr. Henry Martin Clark. However, the superintendent realized that he was saying this out of fear from the priests, and so he told him that he had orders from the deputy commissioner that he would remain in the custody of the police and would not be sent back to the priests. Upon hearing this, he immediately fell at the superintendent's feet and asked him to save him. He admitted that up until then he had been lying. Furthermore, he told the superintendent that he may have noticed that when he had to stand to give evidence, he would always look towards his hands. The reason being that when the priests told him to state in court that he had been told by Mirza Sahib to murder Henry Martin Clark, and that he told him to go to a particular carpenter's house in Amritsar. Hazrat Muslim Aud states that the carpenter was in fact Qutbuddin Sahib, whose grandson was studying in Jamia at the time Hazur mentioned this. The superintendent then further said that Abdul Hamid told the priest that he did not know of any Ahmadis from Amritsar and therefore will not be able to remember this particular person's name. Therefore, the priest would write down the name of this carpenter on the palm of his hands with charcoal. And when he would appear in court to give evidence, the deputy commissioner would inquire from him about the person whom he was sent to in Amritsar, and he would lift his hands and read the name and would say that Mirza Sahib sent him to that particular Ahmadi man. Thus, he confessed to everything, and Sir Douglas acquitted the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam in the very next session of the case. So look, all these incidents are clear signs for us, but Allah the Almighty showed many more manifest signs for Sir Douglas. For instance, one sign was that whilst walking, multiple times he saw the face of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam saying, "I am innocent, it's not my fault." Then Hazrat Muslim Aud states that Sir Douglas narrated to him that once he was sitting in his house when an Indian ICS was there. He asked Sir Douglas to narrate a strange incident from his life. So he shared the same incident of Mirza Sahib with him. He says that as I was narrating this incident, one of my servants who was deaf brought a card and said, "There is a person outside who would like to meet with you." I asked him to bring this person inside. When that person came inside, I said to him, "Young man, I don't know who you are." The young man replied, "You know my father, you are his acquaintance. His name was Pastor Varisdin." I said, "Yes, I was speaking about him just now." The young man replied, "I have received a telegram that the pastor Varisdin has passed away." So Varisdin was the pastor who planned all of this to please Dr. Martin Clark. The case was filed, but Allah the Almighty disclosed the truth on the deputy commissioner, and the witness also confessed that everything that's being stated is a lie. However, it was very strange that Varisdin's son came and informed about his father's demise when Sir Douglas was speaking about his father. Sir Douglas shared this incident consistently with every Ahmadi he met until his demise. He also narrated this incident to Hazrat Muslim Aud as well as to Chaudhary Fateh Muhammad Sahib Sial and Chaudhary Sufullah Khan Sahib. Hazrat Muslim Aud says, "In 1924, when I visited London, Sir Douglas's health was good. And when he narrated this incident, it was 32 years after the incident. Now, he has passed away at the age of 93. This means, in 1924, he was 61 years old. So Hazrat Muslim Aud says, "When I visited London again in 1953, I invited him and he excused himself, saying, 'I am now old and too weak. It's now difficult for me to walk around.'" As a Muslim Aud says, "I felt remorseful that we had a car, we could have offered him a ride. After a short time, he passed away, or we could have gone to his house." So he writes, "These are clear signs through which Allah the Almighty discloses the truthfulness of his prophets. A believer should strive to become a true mu'min, a true believer. If he becomes a true mu'min, then Allah most definitely creates circumstances that revive his faith. And in actuality, there is no pleasure without such faith. What is the purpose of such a faith which keeps a believer in the state of slumber and darkness? Whoever is blind in this world will be blind in the hereafter. And a person who cannot witness clear signs in this world will not witness them in the hereafter. If one witnesses clear signs in this world, they can be witnessed in the hereafter also." Talking of manifest signs, The manifestation of these signs continues to this day. Although 100 years have passed since this incident took place, which was a great sign of Allah the Almighty, now it is appearing in present times that the grandson of Captain Douglas has sent me a message that he desires to do the bath. And he states, I wonder what good deed was committed by my grandfather that now I have a strong desire to enter the fold of Ahmadiyyat. And this is a sign that even today he realized this. Today his grandson is realizing that it was the truth that was shown to Sir Douglas, and he didn't accept it. However, after witnessing this truth, his grandson is accepting it today. And you have already heard of Dr. Martin Clark's grandson. It has been narrated before that he came here and announced that his great-grandfather was in fact wrong and Mirza Sahib was truthful. Hazrat Muslim Maud says, hence, a mu'min should always be engaged in prayers and remembrance of God, that God Almighty grants him the day when the truthfulness of Islam and Allah's essence is disclosed upon him, and he witnesses the illuminous face of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah's spiritual appearance. When this happens, then day and night and years, regardless of the fact that they are years of discomfort or happiness, are equivalent to him. Thus, if God's spiritual appearance is witnessed, his dear Prophet's face is witnessed, then there is no worry of pleasure or discomfort. There is only one emotion, and one is absorbed in that love. Hazrat Muslim Maud states, regardless of what happens, such a person is happy and contented. He is not scared of anybody. For example, when a case was filed against the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam about Karamdin, the magistrate was Hindu. The Aryans pressured him to make sure that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam should be sentenced, and he also promised to do the same. Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib was scared when he heard of this. He said to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazur, this is a very alarming that the Aryans have pressured the magistrate to sentence you. You should return to Qadian. It's not advisable to stay in Gurdaspur. If you stay in Gurdaspur, the magistrate will sentence you tomorrow. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam replied, Khwaja Sahib, if I return to Qadian, I can be arrested from there also. Where should I go then? The magistrate has the authority there too. If I go to Qadian, he can send a warrant there. If I go somewhere else, that is also not safe because a warrant can be sent there. Then where else will I continue to run away? Khwaja Sahib replied, Hazur, the Aryans have taken an oath from the magistrate to sentence you. At this point, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was laying down, and he sat up and said, Khwaja Sahib, why are you worried? Who can lay hands on the lion of God? Hence, this is exactly what happened. There were two magistrates in whose court this case was presented. Both were punished severely. One of them was fired, and the other one's son became mad and jumped from the roof and died. Then he was affected by this so much that Hazrat Muslim Maud says that once he met him at Ludhiana station when he was going to Delhi, and he saw Hazur and requested him for prayers. He said, I have one son, pray that God saves him. I have made many mistakes. Hence, the saying of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was fulfilled, that who can touch the lion of God? And Aryans were not successful in their plans. Therefore, if a person becomes God's, then everything in this world becomes his. Just as God revealed to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, Je tu mera ho rahe, sab jag tera ho. Meaning, if you become God's, the entire world will be yours. Nothing in this world will be able to harm you, and no enemy will be able to plan against you. So you become gods, and keep praying that you become godly. In this way, you will be in peace, and your children and other relatives and friends will also be in peace. Remember that you can't be in peace until Jamaat, the community, is in peace. And the community can only be in peace when your next generations are in peace. Then, at another place, Hazrat Muslim Maud, regarding the same case, states that I remember that when Dr. Henry Martin Clark filed a case against the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, I prayed to God anxiously. At night, I saw in a dream that I am returning from school, and I tried to enter my house through the street, which is under Mirza Sultan Ahmed's house. There I see a lot of uniformed police officers. At first, someone stopped me from entering the house, but then someone said, "He is from this house, he should be permitted to enter." When I crossed the entrance and was about to enter the house, I remembered there was a basement which was built by our grandfather. Immediately adjacent to this entrance, there was a stairway that led to the basement. Afterwards, pieces of wood and items no longer in use were placed here. When I was about to enter the house, I saw that the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, was made to stand up by the police, and he was surrounded by fuel that is prepared from cattle waste. I could only see the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam's neck, and I saw that the police officers were trying to pour kerosene oil on the fuels to start a fire. When I saw them trying to start a fire, I moved over to extinguish the fire. Upon this, few officers grabbed me. Some grabbed me by my waist, and some grabbed me by my shirt. I got extremely distressed that they might light the fuels with the fire. As this was happening, I looked up, and I saw on the top of the door that it was written in very beautiful and clear words, "Who can burn God's beloved people?" He then says, "Not only in the hereafter, but in this world also, there is peace for the believers. We have witnessed with our own eyes countless incidents during the life of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, that even without a sword and by no means of worldly protection, God provided for them the means of defense." The incident narrated by Captain Douglas to an ICS officer, in which he mentioned that he was extremely distressed over the fact that the case was completely false. However, he said that I decided and the truth became evident. He further said, "I have never seen a person with such great courage and patience as Mirza Sahib. Regardless of the fact that a false case was filed against him and he was put into grievous danger, even then, when it was suggested in the courtroom that he could file a case against them for defamation, but the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, refused to do so. Such was his courage and patience. Despite all the opposition that the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, had to face, not only did he remain protected, but according to the promise of God Almighty, his Jamaat also kept on growing, and Qadian also prospered. Speaking of this prosperity in Qadian, Hazrat Muslim Maud says, "There was a time when Ahmadis were not even allowed to enter mosques. The gates of the mosques were closed. Spikes were nailed on intersections for the inconvenience of those walking to the mosque for prayer, so that they may fall down. They were not allowed to get water from the well. The severity of these hardships was so much that the potters were told not to give utensils to Ahmadis. Those who make utensils from clay were prohibited to do so. Such were the difficulties of that time. But where are those people now? Their children have accepted Ahmadiyyat, and the same people who try to efface Ahmadiyyat, their children are busy propagating it. according to the old traditions, the jinn, i.e. the spirits, used to live in the location of this madrasa where Hazur was delivering his speech. And no one dared walk by this place, even in the afternoon. Now, look how those jinn have run away. I remember once walking through the ground of this high school, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, narrated his dream that Qadian was spread to the river Bias, and its population had spread far to the north as well. During those times, there were only 8 to 10 Ahmadi families who weren't well off, and the rest of the people used to visit as guests. Now, look, God the Almighty blessed it with so much prosperity. Today, due to Allah the Almighty's bounty, Qadian's boundary is exceeding a lot more than its original. Ahmadis are also building beautiful houses and apartments. Jamaat's guest house is also being constructed. Hence, we continue to witness the prosperity of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam's town. And also the Hindu opponent, whose house was connected to the eastern part of Masjid-e-Aqsa, used to complain about the noise due to Ahmadi children, because his house was joined to Masjid-e-Aqsa. Today, that house is part of Masjid-e-Aqsa after the construction of its extension. Mentioning the boycotts by the opponents and their hurtful behavior, Hazrat Muslim Maud says, we have witnessed boycotts that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam endured. We have also witnessed the time when cleaners were prohibited to clean and provide water for the school. Then we also witnessed the time when the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam used to go somewhere and opponents threw stones at him and would mock and ridicule him. But what happened in spite all of this? At the time, Hazrat Muslim Maud was delivering a Friday sermon, and he said, 95% of all the people sitting here right now were opponents at the time. And now, that 95% is with us by the grace of God. Then, after the demise of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, there was a lot of commotion in the Jamaat. How did it all end? The leaders of this disorder were those who had overpowered Sadr Anjuman Ahmadiyya. And they would say, can we become enslaved to a boy? God the Almighty granted this boy such great awe over them that they ran away from Qadian, and to this day they have not returned. These people at that time said arrogantly, 98% of the Jamaat is with us, and only 2% is left with them, i.e. with Khilafat. However, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, not even 2% is with them now, and more than 98% has become a part of our Jamaat. At the time when Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was delivering his sermon, the total amount of people sitting in front of him is much less than the number of people sitting in front of me here right now in London. In fact, those sitting in the Fazl Mosque in London, where the Friday sermon is also happening, is far greater than when Hazrat Muslim Maud was delivering his speech. So this is also a sign of Allah the Almighty's help. Allah the Almighty has spread the Jamaat all over the world. Thus, these are clear proofs and signs for the truthfulness of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and also of Allah the Almighty's help for the institution of Khilafat that has been established after him. And they are also the means to increase our faith. May Allah the Almighty enable us to always keep all these things in mind, and may this strengthen our faith and the faith of our generations.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.